Yeah, so let's talk about detach, let go, and be free. Several years ago, Julie and I had a powerful experience when we were traveling through India. And it was a profound spiritual experience for us that shaped us personally and even had an impact on the formation and the mission of this church. And it was one of those experiences where we didn't realize that we were being impacted or that we were having a spiritual experience in the moment. But several years later, we're still processing and we're still being shaped by that experience that we had. And honestly, even today, like, I'm still processing that experience. And I've shared this story before, but it began for us when we had this face-to-face encounter with extreme poverty in the slums of southern India. And we were walking in, and there's you know, thousands of people just all crammed together, families and children, and just rows and rows and rows of mud-walled houses and thatched roofs, and they're all living in and among sewage and disease and dirt and animals. And there's just, as far as the eye can see, rows and rows and rows of these huts. And we were going through and we were meeting people, and women were coming up to us with small children and with babies, and they were telling us, pray to your God. Pray that my baby will be healed. And they would hand us small children that had like visible signs of disease on their skin. The babies were crying, and it was really overwhelming. And we met this young married couple, and they came up to us, and in broken English they said, come, please come see something, we want to show you something. And so off we went into the dust, and they led us through this maze of twists and turns and bends, just walking through like a matrix of shanty homes. And finally we were led into this small opening. And when we go inside the small opening, this young couple is standing there, and a quick glance for me around the room, and I see this rubber hose coming through the wall, probably catching rainwater, and it had a slow drip, and it was turning the dirt into mud just in that area. And on the other side of the room, there was this pile of hay that had a blanket neatly laid across the top of it where they would sleep. And then standing in the middle of this dirt-floored room was this young married couple. And they were beaming with light and joy. And they were filled with life. And he was pointing to something on the wall. And looking there in the middle, kind of hanging in the prominence of their home, was this small wooden cross that he had fashioned from twigs and branches. And there, as we stood in the midst of some of the most extreme poverty that the world is experiencing, was this beautiful, happy Christian couple. and they wanted us to see their most valued possession, the cross. That experience for us, you know, when we walked away, Julie and I kind of walked away in silence. We didn't speak about that. And it was several years later that God began to use that experience to shape our hearts. And even still today, He's using that experience to shape us. That we were able to see in that moment, in that experience, that there are so many things in our heart, in our own heart, that become so easy for us to attach to. Money, shelter, clothing, security, status. Like, there's so many things that we see them as important, and they are important. But if those things were stripped away, if our safety, if our security, if our status, if all the things that we cling to were taken from us, could I be like that couple? Could I stand in the midst of dirt and mud and disease and sickness and poverty and despair and yet still radiate joy and life and hope and peace? And would my most valued possession be the cross? And so I want to talk today about the things that our hearts get attached to. Things that we unknowingly get entangled in. Things that we see as incredibly valuable. Things that we see as just so important and so essential. And yet, there are things that run so much deeper. And there are things that are so much more valuable. You know, I don't know if you've realized this, but we are living, we're watching. I mean, they're better, their production quality, the story writing, the acting. I mean, it's better than it ever has been before. Like, you know, TV watching is good whenever your favorite show is like becoming so real to you that the characters on the show are making it to your prayer list. Like, you're praying for, you know what, I'm just praying for Saul Goodman, you know? And I mean, seriously, you know, it's like, how many of you binge watch? I mean, just confession time. How many of you binge watch? I literally watched Better Call Saul the whole season in 1 week. You know, like, I was neglecting family and responsibilities and, you know. But it's interesting because it's like there was a time when the word binge had a negative association to it. And it doesn't anymore. You know, now it's like we've just fully embraced the binge, you know. Like, hey, bro, what's your binge? You know, and we're just like, we even categorize things as binge worthy. But there are things that they find their way into our life and they become attachments to us. And some of them are small, like maybe your favorite TV show. And then, you know, other things, like some of you guys are looking at me like, well, I don't watch TV, so, you know, I can't relate to this message, Pastor. But you're literally like in the Chick-fil-A line drive-thru like twice a day, you know? Like, just because maybe it's not TV and, you know, like some of you college students, like, I know you're going through Chick-fil-A and you're like, I'll take an 8-pack of nuggets. No, just Chick-fil-A sauce. Like, that's all I want. And a cup of water. And then they're like, my pleasure. You know? So look, we joke about the stuff that we binge on. TV shows, fast food, you know, pick your poison. But what are the things right now that truly they have a stranglehold on your soul? What are the things right now that just have a death grip and they are squeezing the life out of your soul? I mean, they have a rear naked choke and it's deep and you're starting to get fuzzy and it's closing in on you and you're refusing to tap out. Those things. What would it look like for us to let go? What would it look like for us to be free from those things that grip our hearts, big or small? Jesus, I believe, had a conversation with his disciples about this in Matthew chapter 6. And this famous sermon that Jesus gave, I believe, talks to what it looks like to live a life that is free from these entanglements. And I want us to read that together. It's in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So a couple of things that I want to talk about when it comes to detachment and being free from those things that entangle us. The first one is this: to detach from scorekeeping. Now, there's things in life that we look at and we say, okay, well, they're good. And, you know, I should be attached to certain things, you know, husbands and wives and children and, you know, things that we go through in life that are good. But the problem with the human heart is that it has an attachment condition. It has an attachment addiction. And we take things that God has placed in our life and they're good and they're healthy, and somehow the heart takes those things to a whole different place, and it takes them to a whole different unhealthy place. And these relationships, these attachments to people and places and things, they grow into an unhealthy source of value and worth and identity for us. Our jobs, our relationships, our bank accounts. Now, of course we need to keep score in certain areas of our life. Of course we need to, you know, measure certain things. I mean, we have to know how much money we have in the bank. We have to balance our checkbooks. We have to pay our bills. We have to, you know, order our time and organize our life in such a way that we're not just, you know, living in chaos. So, of course, there's certain places that are good for scorekeeping. Scrabble, for example, would be totally boring if we didn't keep score. I mean, those triple word scores, come on. But there is one place that Scripture says to throw away the scorecard. There are some things in our life where we have to stop keeping score. And one of those things is love. The fastest way to kill a relationship is start keeping score. I mean, have you ever been there? Have you ever been at that place where suddenly you just find your heart and your mind just starts to go just deep into the scorekeeping mode? And you start to compare yourself to other people. You start to compare your accomplishments to other people's accomplishments. You start to compare your productivity to other people's productivity. You start to compare your sacrifice to their sacrifice. And as soon as you go there, you see, scorekeeping, it either inflates our ego or it deflates our ego. It either lifts us up or it lets us down. It brings us into this unhealthy place. You know, I found myself just the other day just stewing in some thoughts. Have you ever done that? You ever do that? You just sit and you just stew in some thoughts. And it's always about like measurement and performance and comparison. And you're thinking about your life in comparison to this other person's life or this other thing or this other experience. And as soon as you do that, as soon as you go there, I mean, it's like a virus. And it infects your soul. And it just takes you to a really dark place really fast. And so I'm sitting there and I'm stewing and I'm thinking about these things. And it's already getting to the point now where like I'm having this dialogue. I'm having this conversation with myself and I'm like rehearsing it, you know. And then all of a sudden, like God just drops a little line into my heart. It's a little phrase. And it changed me in that moment. I'm sitting there and I'm stewing and I'm thinking, and then I hear this little whisper, and the whisper says, the real power move is to let go. And I'm like, oh, come on. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear fight. I wanted to hear, you know, go after it, argue. And the Lord says to me in that moment, the real power move is to let go. Come on, guys. You're giving me that Melania blink twice if you need to be rescued look right now. I mean, the real power move is to let go. And you know what happened? All of that weight, all of that darkness, all of that anxiety, all of that stuff that was just brewing in me, it just instantly dissolved. Detach, let go, and be free. And so our heart gets entangled. It gets intertwined with all of these things, all of this stuff. And we start measuring and comparing and then gaining our value from all of the things that we're comparing ourselves to. And we're either elevating ourselves, lifting ourselves up, or we're either just getting crushed and dashed against the rocks. Scorekeeping. There was this time when the disciples came to Jesus And they were kind of battling, wrestling with this message and this idea of scorekeeping, because Jesus was like, hey, you know, don't hate your enemies and don't repay your enemies. Like, don't just stew over those thoughts of revenge and what, and like, just let it go, guys, and just love your enemies. And they're like, wait a minute. Like, how many times, Jesus? And then Jesus says, 70 times 7. And he said that because he knew these guys were uneducated and they couldn't do math. So he was basically saying, like, throw the abacus away. Like, don't even try to figure out the number. Like, it's just infinity. Just forgive. He said to them, throw the scorecard away. The real power move is to let go. And so, when it comes to scorekeeping, love, it says in the New Testament, does not keep any record of wrong. Love doesn't measure someone's performance and then compare that against something else. There's no scoring when it comes to love. And when you can learn to identify in your own life, like, when are there things, like, what are the things that I need to be throwing the scorecard away? Just know that it's freeing. And so here's what Jesus says. He's like, look, I know life is filled with all kinds of stress, and there's so many things to think about, and there's so many things to worry about, and there's always something next, and there's always something breaking, and there's always another bill, and there's always another thing coming up. And Jesus is saying, look, guys, just seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and then watch how all of the things that you're stressing out over, all of the things that you're worried about, watch how they take care of themselves. And what he was telling us is that we have to live in this world, and we're naturally going to take care of things, and we're naturally going to have responsibilities and things, but we can live in such a way that we're detached from those. And they don't dominate us and control us, and we don't obsess over them. Because here's what happens. All of the things that you get really attached to, the things that you draw value from, what happens when those things are threatened? When those things are threatened and you start to feel those things slipping away, you know what happens? It's easy for us to go into a tailspin when we start to lose those things that we feel like are so important to us. And so what Jesus is teaching is how to have peace and how to not be controlled and dominated by all of those things. So the second thing that I want to say is to detach from if-then thinking. So detach from scorekeeping and detach from if-then thinking. So a couple of thoughts on that, and then we're done. Two types of if-then thinking. If-then thinking about others and if-then thinking about ourselves. You see, some of us are being held captive by this if-then thinking attitude about ourselves. We say, if I was hurt, then I must return that hurt to someone else. If they left me, then I'm not worth it. If I didn't go to college, then I can't achieve things. And we take on this if-then thinking and this if-then approach, and we start putting ourselves into these categories. And then we turn that even to others, and we start to have if-then thinking about others. And you know what that does? is it makes us really judgmental. If they have a certain skin color, then it must mean that they are this way or that way. If a person acts a certain way, then it means that they're good or bad. That's what religion does. If they have tattoos, it must mean that they go to Cross Central Church. Okay. Okay, that one's true. So let me leave you with this, my friend. Let the cross do the work of detachment in your life. Yeah, there's things that are important and there's things that are valuable, but there are things right now that are squeezing the life out of your soul. There's if-then thinking that is controlling you. There's scorekeeping, long records that you've been holding on to that God wants to set you free from. Detach. Let go and be free. And so as we close today, I want us to pause and reflect and think about those things in our life that God wants to detach from us. And I want us to pray together and ask God for help. Because those attachments that we've made to faulty mechanisms for measuring success and growth, they're disrupting our life, our relationship with God, and relationship with others. When you learn to let go, you can be free. And guess what? You can enjoy God. And you can enjoy others. And you can enjoy yourself. Because there is freedom. Just watch as it dissolves and God fills you with peace. Detach, let go, and be free. Something that we read from the scripture today just really spoke to your heart. Maybe something that was said in the sermon today, God's just whispering to you. And He wants you to be free. So would you just take 2 minutes, think about what was said today, and try to listen. Listen to what God is speaking. Listen to the areas that God wants to release, wants to detach you from, so that He can bring real freedom. So as we take these next couple of minutes, let's just listen for the voice of God. Thank you. continue for a moment. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to pray. And I want to pray for you this morning, if you're here today. Maybe you feel like you're far from God. You know that something in you is pulling and kind of tugging on your heart. That's God. That's His love. That's His grace. That's God bringing you home. And so if this morning, if you're here and you want to surrender to Jesus, you want to just open your heart and life up to God. It doesn't have to all make sense, but you know that right here, right now, you need His grace and you need His mercy. You need something to change in you, because if it doesn't, something's going to snap, and you know it. And you're at that place where you just know you need something to change in you. I want to invite you to say a prayer together. And all the church, I ask, let's all join in and let's say these words together. Let's come alongside someone who's going to say this prayer today, maybe for the very first time in their life, maybe in such a way that it's going to mean something for the very first time in their life. So church, let's say these words. Say, "Dear God, I confess that I need You. I've lost my way. I want to come home. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. Thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for loving me. And help me today to begin a new life. In Jesus' name. Amen." Amen. Let's thank God today for those who've said that prayer. God, we rejoice. We celebrate. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you would, take this card out. I want you